This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey guys, happy Wednesday. Let's get right into it because we have more vindication for Trevor Bauer, who has been standing up, or who I've been standing up for this entire time. Let's not forget to remember the very several moments where I mentioned that he was proven to be innocent and therefore should have his career back. Still have yet to see that. But listen to this, everybody. Another one of his accusers now being proven to be an absolute liar, now being charged with felony fraud and extortion after she tried to suck a whole bunch of money out of him, claiming sexual assault. And then she faked a pregnancy test by him. Bauer is not holding back now, exposing her for all of her dirty little secrets. Listen.
If there comes a time in the future where I need to defend myself further, I will not hesitate to do so. For now, there's no reason to speak further on this topic, though, because outside of Adonna, who's now been indicted with felony fraud, there are no claims against me, no ongoing investigations, and no outstanding lawsuits. At this point, I'm not sure what else I can possibly do to prove my innocence in all this. I did not do what I was accused of. And every institution that our society is entrusted to rule on issues like these, like courts, judges, law enforcement officers, prosecutors, they all agree with me. They've rejected every single claim made against me, even going as far as charging one of my accusers with a felony. If any evidence of any of these claims actually existed, I would have been charged, or at the very least arrested. But that never happened. What else do I have to do to prove that this entire situation has been a massive lie? This is insane. At what point do I get to go back to work and continue earning a living?
That's a good question. At what point does he get to go back to work and continue making a living now that there has been yet another one of his accusers who not only was proven to be a liar, but now is facing, like I said, felony extortion and also fraud. This is why it's so difficult for women who are actually victims to come forward because of women like this. And this is what I've been saying all along. It's a real shame that now you have to question women's stories when they actually have been wronged by other men, by other women. It's because of people like this who come forward for their own personal reasons, whether that's trying to extort money out of someone or otherwise, trying to extort fame, clout, just like in the case of this. This woman's name was Darcy Adonna Esimanu. And like I mentioned, two counts now for her of felony fraud and theft by extortion. She did this against Trevor Bauer, and also she did this against another man. So she has a track record now of trying to extort money out of men who are trying to just make a living and live out their lives. She allegedly lied to Bauer, saying that she was pregnant. There was a pregnancy test, which came back negative. So, I mean, the evidence certainly was not in her favor. She also claimed that it was the result of a sexual assault during the one instance that they hooked up back in 2020. She didn't come forward till 2022 after Lindsay Hill came forward trying to extort all of the money out of him, like we've been talking about several months ago at this point. So she said that he sexually assaulted her. She came forward trying to demand money from him, changed the amount of money that she asked from him about three different times, which obviously looks very shady. You know, this doesn't look like some straightforward claim where someone's saying, hey, this happened. Here's what I'm looking for. And here's the evidence to prove that this happened. She had absolutely no evidence. She kept trying to change her number. And now to make matters even worse, her lawyers have dropped her. I mean, all of the evidence is stacked up against this woman, this absolute liar. She's probably so embarrassed now. I mean, can you even imagine how embarrassing it should be for her to step foot outside of her home, to know that the entire world is looking at her like she's some filth, some scum, which she is, completely lying about a guy trying to, you know, sexually assault her and impregnating her? And claiming that she miscarried, then no, she went to have an abortion, but no, then she miscarried before she went to have the abortion. This is how many times her story's changed. Anyways, Trevor Bauer, clearly aware of how horrible this person is, how horrible all of his accusers have been, and now he said he is absolutely not holding back when it comes to telling the truth and exposing them moving forward. Listen.
So now she's facing up to 16 years in prison. Her claims are even more absurd than Lindsay's were, so here's some of the details. We had one plain sexual encounter in December of 2020, nothing that could be considered remotely rough. She initiated it, but don't take my word for it, take hers. This is a picture and text message she sent me the next morning, explaining why she came on to me. And for months afterward, she repeatedly requested to sleep with me again. For example, this text from January 7th, 2021. At one point, she even requested a sample of my sperm so she could have my child whenever she wanted to in the future. Now, it's hard to keep track, but she's made at least 4 7-figure demands over the last few years. More than a year after the one time we slept together, and only after Lindsay Hill made up her false allegations, Adonna retained a lawyer. She then demanded $3.6 million and claimed I forced her to have an abortion, leaving her emotionally devastated and irretrievably damaged by it. But here's the thing, she never had an abortion because she was never even pregnant, and that's corroborated by her own medical records.
Okay, so kind of just repetitive of what I just said. She's an absolute liar. She no longer has legal counsel. This is the exact verbiage of the letter that was addressed to Adonna. Hi, Adonna, as your legal counsel, we have all agreed that the recording is detrimental to your case and to the point that we will very likely not be able to continue representation of you on this matter. We are requesting a copy of the recording to verify the authenticity. I know this is difficult news, but without medical records of your abortion and a recording like this, this is what we feel is insurmountable. So lie after lie after lie, good for Trevor Bauer, yet again vindicated. Can the man please get his job back? That's all I'm asking for. I think a lot of people at this point realize he is a stud on the baseball field. There's absolutely no reason, especially after this, that he should not be able to have his career back and live his life in peace. So on that note, let's go ahead and bring in OutKick contributor Mike Gunzelman for a little bit more reaction. Hey. Gunzy, what's going on? Do people call you Gunzy?
You can call me Gunzy if you really want to.
I feel like that's a cute little name, right? Gunzy.
Yeah, you know, it's a term of endearment for sure, but I haven't been called that in a minute. But listen, we can always start now, though. Do I look like a Gunzy?
We can always start now.
Do I look like a Gunzy, though? I don't know.
I think you do. I'm seeing it a little bit in you this morning. With the blurred background, it softens your features. It's, you know, very sweet. Okay, so Guns, this is just a story that we keep bringing up time and time again. Even more evidence in favor of Trevor Bauer that he is absolutely not guilty, that these women that are accusing him, I'm not saying all women, but these women are absolutely nuts. They're crazy. They're criminals. And now he just has further evidence. And I'm saying if I was this woman and I faked a pregnancy and said that he assaulted me and I knew and I was, you know, proven, it was proven that none of this actually happened and I actually never was pregnant in the first place. There was no miscarriage. There was no abortion. I would be, I don't know, I'd probably go crawl under a rock and die.
Right. Well, here's, I mean, you can be sure that Trevor Bauer is finally feeling some sort of vindication here. Because here's the thing. Obviously, you know, you mentioned it in your monologue, sexual assault, a huge deal, cannot be taken lightly, as we all agree. But you have to look at the facts with each and every single one of these cases. And here's the bottom line. The facts are that as of right now, Trevor Bauer has never been arrested. He's never been charged with anything, with any kind of crime, despite years of investigations, right? This has been going on since the summer of 2021. Even Major League Baseball conducted their own investigation, and they also found out that, you know, there was nothing going on enough to keep him out of baseball. So he literally can go back and play baseball right now. However, no team will do it. There has been, however, Charlie, a crime charged against somebody. And that's this woman that we're talking about for felony extortion. And it's important that we say exactly what this is here, because this is a felony. This isn't just some sort of like, you know, rumored thing or some sort of just like small matter that happened. This is a felony. And it also came down from a grand jury. This is multiple people that found that she was lying and had made this whole entire thing up. This is the worst of all things that could possibly happen to this person. And in the larger issue, the larger thing at hand is that on one aspect, yes, A, this hurts the credibility of so many legitimate people out there, not just the Trevor Bauer thing, but just, you know, claims in general. It's just like when people scream racism when something isn't racist. You're really hurting and you know, demeaning actual racist acts. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is Trevor Bauer, his life has been ruined, at least so far as what we've been able to see. The last 3 years, his job, his work, his career, his reputation, everything has been ruined here. And so far, for the two cases that have, not even cases, but the two matters at hand, they have been proven not true. And that is awful. That is awful to hear. That's awful to see, because nobody should have this happen to them, whether it's a male, whether it's a female. No, like, you should never have false claims against you. And even when they're proven false, you still have people on social media that are still claiming that there's something else here that says, oh, the next one, oh, the next one, oh, the next one. We have to look at the facts of the matter. When the next one comes, if it does come, then we'll deal with that. But as of right now, you have this person who've made up everything and is being charged by a grand jury for felony extortion, and Trevor Bauer's just trying to get his life back.
Do you think that he's going to get his life back? At this point, I would love to see it, because I feel horrible for him. But at this point, I don't know. There's been plenty of opportunity. We're already in the, you know, the season in which we would have expected him to get signed beforehand, because there was already evidence on his side in his favor. Is it ever going to happen for Trevor Bauer?
I don't. I'm not quite sure, to be honest with you, because you're right. There have been multiple teams that are desperate for some sort of pitching right now. And the fact is that he has been continuing training. He has been continuing to pitch. He pitched last night down in the Mexican League, and he did some spring training games as well. I think that there is, this is my opinion, I think that there's something more going on behind the scenes. He had been a vocal critic against Major League Baseball. He had been open against Major League Baseball.
But he did apologize. He apologized for that. He did apologize for that. He put out like a very nice statement saying that wasn't his place. He should have behaved differently.
Yes, but I think that there is the unspoken thing that's been happening behind the scenes. You know, because why else hasn't he been signed by a team? Has it been come down from Manfred or some sort of like pressure that we don't know about? That's the only thing that I can possibly think of, because like it's there's so many bad teams out there that desperately could use a Trevor Bauer. And the only reason is if he's been vindicated twice so far, then what are we doing here? There's also other people that have been charged with domestic abuse and others like Aurel Chapman, et cetera, that are pitching and have been pitching. So what's different in Trevor Bauer's case? It's one is the social media mobs going after him, which we know about, but this is this extortion thing coming out is huge for his case. And then the second thing is what separated him from other people. It's that he went after Major League Baseball. And is there some sort of vendetta against them? Is there some sort of like I said, an unspoken matter, that's pressure that's coming down? Because otherwise I don't know the answer to that. I don't know why somebody wouldn't just give him the minimum contract and throw him up there. And if he can't do it, kind of like almost like the Colin Kaepernick. You know what I mean? Like Colin Kaepernick, whether you like him or you don't like him, he never got the opportunity to play football again. And I thought that was almost surprising, because I thought somebody would just give him the league minimum to see if he even has it. Trevor Bauer isn't even allowed to have that, almost like a Kaepernick situation as far as the on the playing field stuff goes.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I'm very shocked that he's not even given the opportunity to show that, you know, he belongs on a team again. And I think this is the type of situation that we should be setting a precedent for, that when men are wrongly accused by women like this, or, you know, in any situation, when someone is found to have been wrongly accused.
Yeah. If anybody, exactly. I don't care what sex it is, it's got nothing to do with anything.
There shouldn't be any repercussions against them anymore. Like, that's completely wrong. That's just setting a really bad example for everybody else to say, yeah, you know, your life is over if someone tries to take advantage of you. And to me, that's not all right. And obviously, this woman, you know, before we didn't see Lindsay Hill having any type of, you know, legal penalties being brought against her, which, you know, is unfortunate, because there is the argument that you should have whatever you've accused someone of, whatever their penalty would have been, if you were lying, maybe you should have that penalty brought against you. That's obviously just something that we would like to see happen as a form of vengeance. But in this situation, I mean, she actually is being charged now. So, I don't know. But it's a little too late. The season's probably already started. I feel bad for Trevor Bauer. And unfortunately, because of this handful of really scummy women, his life is never going to be what it could have been.
And whether it's Trevor Bauer, whether it's a female, whether it's male, when you have false charges against you, that is the ultimate wrongdoing that one can possibly do, whatever the motivations are that happened to them. And that's awful. And everyone should never want that to happen. We should always want the rule of law to come out in the end. And unfortunately, this has played out more so in the social media world than in the actual, courtrooms. And so far he's 2 for 2, at least for what we've been able to see. So
you mentioned the league minimum as being an option. You know, listen, if they want to bring him back in, give him a shot, the league minimum would probably be what he would expect and probably wouldn't even be upset about at this point. But when we're talking about league minimums, it just reminds me of Caitlin Clark's salary. She was just drafted number one in the WNBA. So she's not making the league minimum by any means, but it feels like it, right? Because her collective salary for a four-year contract is in like the $350,000 range. And here's the breakdown of it. She's making $76,000 first year, $78,000 the second, $85,000 the third, and $97,000 the fourth year. I mean, Gunn's $97,000 a year when she's in her fourth year of the NBA. I mean, that's right above what I made in my second year out of college. And I know that, there are some jobs that don't pay as well, but that's pathetic. It's like you're a professional athlete and you have, the male counterparts who are making multi-million dollars. And I know you can't compare the WNBA's business structure to that of the NBA. I know it doesn't generate nearly as much revenue, but when I look at these numbers, because I've never really paid attention before to what WNBA players make, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is pathetic. And then I just looked up the top salary in the WNBA, which belongs to Jackie Young of the Las Vegas Aces. She makes $252,000 a year, which, okay, I mean, that's still like a good 3.5 times what Caitlin Clark is making, but still $252,000 a year when you're a professional athlete. Just it still resonates strangely with me.
Right. I mean, especially, this has never gotten fully the attention ever since, there was never really a Caitlin Clark that came out about this. But, once again, you got to look at the facts here. This is all because of the CBA. Collective bargaining agreement, this is exactly what it was. What it is for anybody that's drafted the top four draft picks, this is the absolute maximum that they are able to make. Is it wrong? Doesn't seem too fair, especially when you compare it to the male counterparts, but you also have to consider the economics. The amount of people that are going to the WNBA are not nearly as many of the people that are going to the NBA, especially with endorsement deals, sponsorships, all that, the media rights, and et cetera. So this is what the CBA this is what legally is able to happen. You can be damn sure that when the next one comes up at the end of 2027 season, just a couple years away, that it will be a lot higher. But also there's a lot of other facts I'd love to bring into this, especially from a financial situation, because people are just starting to realize this. So the other thing that CBA allows instills is contracts are not guaranteed. She's only going to get paid for games that she dresses in. So God forbid her if she gets hurt, because she won't even get paid anything for those games. So this is the structure that the players union for the women basketball players, this is what they negotiated and this is what they went with. Now, what is going to happen on the flip side, or in addition to this, is you have to also realize that the WNBA, they only play about 3 to 4 months. So they don't go as long as the males do, but they play about 3 to 4 months, and that's why a lot of them will play overseas. They'll go to Europe. Brittany Griner, we also saw what happened there. So Caitlin Clark, I don't know if you smoke or blaze, right? Or tote or anything like that. But don't leave the weed oil at home, please, because we don't need another international situation like Brittany Griner, for the love of God, Caitlin Clark. I don't know if you do, but please, we don't need that. But that's why Brittany Griner and everyone was overseas, because they can make millions of dollars playing in these other leagues.
Yeah.
So they might not make it here, but they will make it elsewhere. And then, of course, she's going to absolutely draw in bank. Her Nike deal is just about up right now. She's going to re-up there. She's going to crush it there. The Gatorade, the State Farm, the all those things are going to come in. You can be guaranteed that Caitlin Clark's going to have her own sneaker pretty soon. You can be guaranteed. I think that she'll be on the ESPYs red carpet. I think it's going to be Jason Kelce, Travis Kelce, Pat McAfee, and Caitlin Clark for the ESPYs. If anybody from ESPN's watching, you should probably do that, because this star power, what she's able to bring, and she's able to bring in the key demographic, that young kid that wants to, that will run home to her parents and be like, I want a Caitlin Clark jersey, or I want to go see her play. And we've already seen this, that the first couple games that Caitlin Clark's playing, not only in, not only for the Fever, where she was just drafted, but the away games are all being moved up to larger arenas, because the demand is there. So she'll do just fine, just based on everything else, because the WNBA needs Caitlin Clark more than Caitlin Clark needs the WNBA, because she'll do fine elsewhere as far as money comes in. Is it wrong? Does it look crappy? Of course, but it's what the women's league negotiated.
Yeah.
It's not like the owners are doing it. It's literally the CBA.
Yeah, you get what you sign. Exactly. Yeah, I have a feeling, though. I don't know when they're when the agreement is up, like when they get back to the negotiating.
Yeah. End of 2027.
Okay.
Sure that it will be up. Yeah.
That's a while away, though. That's 3 years. Yeah, that's not anytime soon. But you're right. She's going to have so many endorsement deals. And, of course, she already has the offer to play in the Big Three. Still no word on if she's going to be allowed to play in the Big Three this summer, Ice Cube's league, which they offered her $5 million.
I think she should.
For that stretch of, eight games. So she absolutely...
Yeah. Charlie, would you want, here's the thing with the Big Three. It's 3-on-3. There's only two games that would actually... I went through the schedule. I broke it down. There's only two games that would interfere with the Fever games. And also, she would be playing against males. She'd be playing against guys. And, this is the ultimate way to go viral. And, it's on CBS. It's nationally on CBS. I think she... And she's getting bank for it. And if she's able to hold her own with these people, that would resonate so much. And... would they let her? Caitlin Clark can pretty much do whatever the hell she wants.
I think the only real conflict, other than the two dates, I think the other conflict would be, because a lot of athletes have it in their contracts that, of course, injury, if you get injured and then you can't play in the, then you forfeit your salary for the Fever games. But additionally, there are further repercussions. If you're found to have gotten injured in activities that you shouldn't have been doing outside of regularly scheduled practices and games. I don't know. I still would take the risk. I'm like, for $5
million.
If I'm injured for the season, then so be it. And I would have to imagine that, that's what she wanted, the Fever might give that to her. But you mentioned a Nike endorsement deal is going to bring in a whole lot of cash for her, which I totally agree with you on there. Speaking of Nike, they're defending criticism that they're receiving because they had designed some very skimpy uniforms for the track and field athletes, for the female track and field athletes for the 2024 Paris Olympics. And, they decided to show them off. And people are just having themselves a field day with these outfits, just going in on them, talking about how horrible and disgusting they are and how they should be ashamed that they created these for women and, why are they trying to sexualize women, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, Nike came back and they said, we designed garments to ensure fit across a range of body types and style preferences and infused real-time feedback throughout the entire production development cycle. Now, let's also make note, Guns, that just because they had a skimpy uniform, which this isn't the skimpy uniform. Do we have a picture of the skimpy uniform? I think we have a graphic of it. If we could pull that up real quick just to show what it looks like.
Some of them are pretty, if there's a breeze, it might not be good.
Can we show, Yeah, can we show that? Show the there we go. Okay, so see how it's like really high cut, which, you know, people are like, oh my gosh, like a woman's parts are gonna fall out of that. How could you? You know, even some of the athletes up in arms about this. But meanwhile, you know, there are some other people, athletes, coming to the defense of Nike and say, if you honestly think that's on the most important day of our careers, we're choosing what to wear to appease the men watching over what we're most comfortable and confident in to execute to the best of our abilities, that's pretty offensive. Now, the reason she's saying this is because they have the ability to choose what they wear. This skimpy outfit that we just showed with the very high cut, that's one of 20 options that they're giving women, right? So right. If women want to have the exact outfit as the males, they can wear that. If they want more, you know, full coverage briefs, they can have that. There's 20 different varieties of options, which, you know, as a woman, we love our options, guns. And then, you know, there's the other people who are defending these skimpy outfits saying, listen, there are some women out there who want to show it off, right? Who want to have the skimpier outfit. It's just like a woman walking around in a crop top, right? Totally. I mean, some women want to opt for the more skimpy version.
Yeah, once again, Nike is involved in something here. You know, they're getting rocked for the Major League Baseball uniforms that they, have come out just as an absolute disaster with their design. So I don't put too much faith in Nike here that these things, that there won't be any sort of wardrobe malfunction. But maybe it brings more people to watch it. I don't know. Clearly somebody over there was just like, hey, maybe these will help out in some sort of fashion or whatnot. But the fact is, yeah, as you mentioned, there are a ton of different outfits and a ton of different styles that one can choose from. Forget about me, though, Charlie, because I think everyone wants to know, would you rock one of these? If you were a female athlete and you were Team USA, Charlie, going up there, let's go. Would you rock one of these? That's what the people want to know, Charlie.
I would. Okay, so from a fashion standpoint, absolutely, I would rock it. My only thing is I would have to, you know, I would have to give the different options a go, like a little ride down the track and see, you know, does right. one, for example, give you a wedgie? Is one more comfortable? Which one is less distracting when I'm running? That's right. what I'm
a
about.
Little,
I mean,
yeah,
but if, for example,
yeah.
the skimpier, yeah, if the skimpy one felt the exact same as the more full coverage one, and I looked good in the skimpy one, hell yeah, why not?
Damn right. Listen, that's all that matters.
What about you? You know? What about you, Guns? Would you wear the skimpy outfit?
I try to leave the banana hammocks, in the privacy of my. I try not to rock the Speedos unless unless absolutely necessary. Needless to say, banana hammocks. I can handle my own, Charlie. Believe that. But people have to pay to see that. All right. They have to pay to see that. I ain't giving away that for free, people.
I wonder how much someone would pay to see that. I'm not sure. I want to know the answer because it might be embarrassing for you. I don't know.
Maybe more than Caitlin Clark's salary. Maybe that.
If you could make more than Caitlin Clark's salary to show off a banana hammock, then honestly, I think you should get the OnlyFans up and running right now. But listen, you might not even need an OnlyFans because you're building your celebrity day by day, Guns. I hear,
Randy, baby.
You got a little bit of a shout out from Stephen Colbert. Let's take a look.
Fans were understandably in a pissed off state of mind, posting messages like, hey, at CBS, WTF is this? You cut off Billy Joel during Piano Man of all songs? Not ballin'. Not ballin' at all. Which is especially embarrassing for CBS News because their slogan is, all the news that's fit to ball.
There you go, Guns.
Let's go.
Hell yeah. How did that feel?
You know what? I felt redemption after saying the word ballin' for about 15 years now, finally made it on the big screen out there. I'm not a huge Colbert fan, but I'll take it. You know what? Even your enemies, it's always great when they acquiesce to you and they realize just how important one may be. But this was absolutely hilarious because, you know, it was Sunday. It was this past Sunday. I took my annual best nap ever, and that would be the Masters. Great nap. Top two naps out there, by the way, Charlie. One would be the Masters. Two is Thanksgiving. Top two naps easily. Everyone has to. It is
so.
It
you
is,
nap. Hold on. Do you nap during the Masters?
Oh,
or
absolutely.
After.
Yeah, earlier. Yeah. It's too peaceful. Everybody does. You watch like it, okay. Plus it goes for like 5.5 hours. And it's they have the yeah. birds in the background. It's like the great voices, the deep voices, and you just feel like it's pretty much heaven on yeah. earth. And it feels like, and you okay. feel like you're on, and your pillow feels like the most like a cloud at that moment. So you take your annual nap during the Masters. I took one on Saturday and Sunday, and then I wake up, and then kind of like the Sunday scaries start hitting you about like 8:30, and I'm like, oh Christ, when did I do anything? Did I do anything that did I accomplish anything this past weekend? And then I started scrolling through TV and I was like, well, there's nothing on. And then I was like, oh, Billy Joel's on. Big Billy Joel guy. I mean, let's go. Billy Joel, amazing. You know, it's so many songs. Piano Man and, you know, We Didn't Start the Fire and Oh, For the Longest Time and Uptown Girls. And like, I mean, come on now. So Captain Jack and She's Still a Woman to Me, A Bottle of Red, A Bottle of White. So many songs that people probably don't even realize that Billy Joel sings, he sings. So I was like, boom, I'll watch this. It'd be a great night. And then they go to Piano Man and they cut it off, Charlie, halfway right in the Piano Man.
How could they?
Cut it off and go straight to the news. I was not happy. I tweeted about it. New York Post, Yahoo, Billboard, they all picked it up. And so did Stephen Colbert. How you doing? Show me the money. Let's go.
You are, Guns, you are a superstar. And that is why I will continue to have you on my show. So once again, thanks for being here. And I will have my people call your people for the next appearance.
Yes, I appreciate that. Also, I'm going to go, perhaps model those things around Times Square, the Nike bathing suit.
Lovely.
So, I'll see you in Times Square.
I'll catch up with you about it next time.
See. Outkick the Morning will be right back after a short break. Stay tuned.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Okay, everyone, on a final note, as we are wrapping up what I think the school year is about wrapped up for college kids. I think in about 2 weeks, they'll be out living their lives, many of them having graduated, figuring out what's next. Good luck to all of you. The job market is not so great out there. The economy's not so great out there, but that's a story for another day. But for the other people who are just beginning to start their college careers this upcoming fall, I've got news for everybody. Not as many people will be attending Harvard as they have in past years. Overall, Harvard received 54,008 undergraduate applications in this admission cycle compared with 56,937 last year. That's a drop about 5% drop. Now, it might not seem like a whole lot to you, but everybody wants to go to Harvard, right? I mean, well, if you can get in, right, you want to go to Harvard. That's always been kind of like the gold standard of universities. But the fact that it's going down really is indicative of something. And that's the fact that people aren't seeing the value in going to Harvard like they used to. That gold sticker that used to be next to the name, that gold star, it's getting pretty tarnished because of some of the events that have taken place over the time about the past year. One, of course, what happened on October 7th and the university president, Claudine Gay, refusing to condemn Hamas in this situation. Not to mention, there was a members of the student body who came forward with a letter completely blaming all of this on the people of Israel. There's two things. Then not to mention Claudine Gay, multiple instances of plagiarism. She's the university president. Shouldn't she be held to the highest standard that exists on that campus? I would think so. So I think what people are beginning to see is, why should we pay a stupid amount of money? Why should we go to university where we know we're going to have to work our butts off and compete at the highest level, when what is the education really worth? I mean, you have teachers who aren't serving as good role models. You have a president of the university who's probably one of the worst choices that could have been. Clearly a DEI selection. We all have realized that at this point. And she's not even president anymore, which took them long enough to remove her from that post. They didn't even remove her. She stepped down. You know, begrudgingly, right? Because she basically had to. And I think people are just kind of seeing through all of the BS with schools like this. I mean, there are other elite schools that are seeing an uptick in their admissions, but Harvard is one school that you never thought would lose its luster. But that's now the case. And in fact, on top of all of the nonsense that's gone on Harvard's campus over the course of this past year, I think it's also worth noting that I believe that younger people also are just not seeing necessarily the value in college like they used to. There's a lot of jobs out there that you don't, quite frankly, even need to attend college to perform to the best of your ability. I've got to be honest, even for a degree like broadcast journalism, other than the fact that going to a university gave me the credentials to get internships, which I wouldn't have gotten otherwise because they were requiring school credit for you to complete the internships. I didn't really learn all that much about my field in college. I mean, I did a couple of news packages, but everything that I learned using real world experience, which was through my internships and mentors that I had outside of my university. So I don't know if I had it to do over again. I mean, I don't know. This is a completely different world than when I was in college, so maybe I would have done it differently. But I think that Harvard should definitely be reflecting on their wrong turns that they took this past year and probably should say lesson learned, I would hope, right? Moving forward, I would hope they do things very differently. And I hope all of the policies that they abided by in the past will no longer be. And maybe, I don't know, maybe next year they'll see that uptick back in their admissions. But on that note, everybody, that is it. That's all we've got for this Wednesday. Thank you so much for being here. As always, you know where to find me at Charlie on TV across all forms of social media. Have yourselves a wonderful hump day. Do not, if you can help it, imagine guns in the banana hammock. And I will see all of you tomorrow.